Welcome to the Serve Pro Coaches Show. I'm Philip Palmertree, and in a moment, I'll be speaking with Kosciuszko Whippet head baseball coach Derek Boland, right here on the Serve Pro Coaches Show on Breezy 101.
When an electrical shortage in your office causes extensive smoke and water damage, or that musty odor indicates you might have a mold problem, you need a lot more than just help cleaning up. That's why ServPro Northeast Deltalands is the authority when disaster strikes. We offer all the cleanup and construction services to take your home or business to good as new and as soon as possible. So no matter what happens, there's just one call you need to make. Call ServPro Northeast Deltalands at 662-289-7473 to see how we can help you back to like it never even happened. Franchises are independently owned and operated.
The ServPro Coaches Show is coming your way, and as always, Coach Derek Boland gives us some of his time to talk about his Kosciuszko Whippet baseball team. Coach, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Since we were together last, the Whippets wrapped up a series with Louisville with a 12-2 win over there in Winston County. And then at the fairgrounds on Saturday afternoon, folks were treated to an exciting ball game, an 8-7 victory that the Whippets had over the Ridgeland Titans, a 5A opponent, in a back-and-forth ball game. It ended with a two-out rally in the bottom of the seventh inning, a walk-off sacrifice fly by Ethan Wood. I know the players were excited about that, but Coach, from your perspective, what's important about a win like that?
At this point in the season, you know, entering that second half and entering that back stretch of the season, it plays a big role. We've had a couple really close games. Two of them with Pearl kind of came down to the last few innings. And having that type of game kind of, to me, prepares you a little more for the playoff type games, big district games, things like that, that you're going to see somebody's number one. You know, it's going to be a tighter ball game, although we didn't see each other's number one, but it was the tightness of the ball game and the back and forth. Both of us scored. They scored three in the top of the first. We scored three in the bottom. And then we put up a two spot in the second, and they came back with one in the third. We came back with one in the fourth, and, you know, they took the lead in the fifth. They scored three, and, you know, neither one of us scored in the sixth. And finally in the seventh, you know, we had a big double play in the top of the seventh inning and got us off the field. And, you know, it happened really fast. Like, usually in that last inning, you don't see it happen as fast. And, you know, Landon Wallace led off with a walk. And then Kalen Powell came up and saw a first pitch fastball that he liked and hit a double, and we had minute second and third with no outs. And Larson Fancher came up and first pitch he saw that he knew he could do what he wanted to do with it a little bit as far as controlling the ball and controlling the bat head. He unselfishly, you know, pulled a ground ball to the second baseman and, you know, scored the tying run, and Ethan came up and hit a sack fly to right and scored the winning run. So it happened really fast. I think they threw – seven total pitches, and, you know, threw four to Landon, and then it was three straight pitches and, you know, first pitch strikes, and they attacked it. So a lot of times coaches will go into that situation, you know, especially after a leadoff walk on four pitches. A lot of coaches will start doing, you know, take till you get a strike when you're under a three-run deficit. But right there, Landon led off the inning with a walk. He's a left-handed hitter, and you know, a lot of right-handed pitchers at the high school level, they're really good against righties, and they struggle a little bit with the lefties. And so the inning before, that kid had thrown really well to the righties and thrown a lot of strikes. And, you know, they're used to throwing to that left side of the plate so much that the lefty comes up, and now they have to kind of switch gears and go to the right side of the plate, and some of them struggle with it. So, you know, I elected to let our guys swing and not put any extra pressure on them by taking a strike. So they came through. So I was really proud of them, you know, overcoming some adversity and staying in the game throughout. You know, that could have been a big killer when we lost the lead in the fifth. And they overcome, you know, a lot of adversity during that time to stay in it. So
something I thought was really impressive about that win was that resilience they had when they lost the lead in the fifth, just kept battling back, and production up and down the lineup, you know, everybody seemed to play a part. It was a day when Ridgeland had trouble with some high pop-ups. They had trouble getting under that high sky that day, but I thought we played solid defensively through the game. And then I thought Will Carter in a start, you know, a situation he's not used to, he really battled for you, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he did not have his stuff that day. Usually Will, he's been a guy that throws a lot of strikes and fills up the zone with, with, you know, at least two pitches, and he struggled that day. We've been trying to make a few adjustments with him, and I think he was working on those a little bit as well. And, you know, he just didn't have his stuff that day, but he kept competing, kept trying to make pitches. And finally, when we brought him out, I think it was one out in the fifth, you know, Riley came in and did a really good job. He threw 2 2/3 and only threw 22 pitches and got a really big double play ground ball in that last inning that got him kind of out of a jam. So I was real pleased with both of them.
Well, Coach, as we turn to the days ahead, we're making that quarter turn on the regular season, and what we've got in front of us here in Region 4 play are a couple of series with the two Lauderdale schools, Northeast and West Lauderdale, next week, in which we're going to find out who's going to be the district champion. It's going to really come down to one of those three schools. What do you think the Whippets need to do to get themselves in that number one seed?
It's like we tell our guys every day. It doesn't matter who we are playing. You know, we try to not focus on who the opponent is. We play against the game, compete against the game, and control the things that we can control, and not focusing on, you know, the actual opponent. We're trying to compete against the game, and, you know, that way you don't get caught up in the emotion and the things like that that are involved in playing certain opponents. You know, and that's why I don't like calling things rival games and things like that, because ultimately – you can't control what the other team does, but you can control what you do. And when you have a group of guys that their focus is controlling the things they can control, you know, they don't get caught up in a lot of that stuff. So, you know, we talk about competing against the game. And, you know, if we go out and do our job and compete against the game and do the things that we need to do that we can control, we'll be in a lot better shape.
Well, in the couple of minutes we have left, I want to do something a little bit out of the ordinary that we haven't done on the Surf Pro Coaches Show this year. And I want to do something that put you through a couple of questions that your players have been through. In the Whippet Media Guide, all the players are asked a couple of questions, and they have interesting answers to all the questions. Of course, it's not going to be height and weight. It's going to be a couple of questions we want to ask you, find out a little more about you and your relationship to the game of baseball. Here's the question. Number one, who's your favorite baseball player of all time and why? And the second is, what's your favorite baseball moment?
Well, I grew up watching a little bit in the 80s. I got to see the 90s, the early 2000s, all the way up till now. So I'm going to, you know, I know this is a very generic answer and one that people use quite often, but with me being a baseball guy, and Derek Jeter is my epitome. He's the epitome, in my opinion, of a baseball player, a true He's a team guy. He'll do whatever's asked of him. You know, he probably could have hit 40 home runs a season and things like that. But, you know, that's not what they needed of him. They needed a leader. They needed a captain. And they needed a guy who would lay down the bunt when he needed to, you know, situational hit. And he was that guy. You know, he wasn't the most talented guy either. And that's what people don't understand, is he had to work really hard to get where he was. And I really have a lot of respect for that guy and the way he approached the game.
What about favorite, most meaningful baseball moment in your career?
As a player or coach?
Either one.
As a player, I'd have to say it would be my senior year of college. We had had 3 years prior to that where we had been really successful, and that year was kind of a rebuilding year. I was a fifth-year senior, and you know, we had a lot of freshmen, sophomores on the field, but it was one of those things, we saw it build up towards the end into something kind of special. And, you know, we made a run in the conference championship, and it was just one of those special times. You saw some guys grow and things like that. And going into my coaching career, it helped me as a coach to kind of see that as a player. And, you know, also I was one of the guys that I was the oldest out there. So I had to, you know, kind of take some reins on some things. And as a coach, I'm going to be honest, I can't pick one out. There's something special about every group that you coach, whether it be on the field or off the field. There's something special about each group. And I look forward to that every year, finding what it is about that group. And just like this year's group, our team chemistry is a really special thing. I've seen a group of guys come together, and, you know, you're not seeing kids hang out in little cliques. It's all one big group, and they're always together. And it's been real special to watch since, you know, especially with all the COVID things, how that can cause some separation and things like that. You know, it's really been special to watch.
Coach, we hope there are some special moments ahead in this 2021 season as it starts to come down to some of the higher pressure situations, late regular season, and then the playoffs. We want Whippet fans to check breezynews.com for the broadcast schedules and home games that are coming up. Coach, as we always do, real quickly, tell Whippet fans what they need to do if they want to come out to the fairgrounds and watch the Whippets in person.
To purchase a ticket for a home game, you go to gofan.co, G-O-F-A-N.co, search for Kosciuszko, and once you click on Kosciuszko, it shows upcoming events. A lot of times you need to refresh the page after it pulls up, and it will pull up the most recent games, and you choose the game you want to go watch and purchase your ticket. And tickets do go on sale at 8 a.m. the morning of the game.
Okay, so day of purchases is how that works. All right, well, thank you, Coach Derek Boland, for joining us today on the Serve Pro Coaches Show. We'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.